we turn our attention to Washington, D.C., over the last few weeks, more news has emerged in the ongoing investigation into Russian meddling during the 2016 presidential campaign and whether or not members of the Trump campaign potentially colluded with Russia in some way. Since his victory in November, these allegations have followed the president and members of his campaign, like son-in-law Jared Kushner.
Now the investigation has zeroed in on former campaign manager and pro-Russia lobbyist Paul Manafort. While the investigation continues, tensions between the two countries grow, with both the U.S. and Russia demanding the other close some foreign consulates.
Lowell Barrington joins us now. He's an associate professor and chair of the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. Lowell, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, there's a lot, as there has been all along here, a lot of different news items and threads floating out here. What are you focused on most as news emerges about this Russia investigation?
It certainly has been an exciting week trying to keep up with the stories as they have been breaking. I think one of the things that this week has shown, and it's I think not a surprise to a lot of us who've focused more on the Russia side of this from the start, is that it seems to be focusing a little bit more now on the issue of the money trail and following the possibility of financial, not only connections, but financial misdeeds by those in the Trump campaign or the president himself. And I think that's one of those things that for a while now, many of us who study the region, when we started to hear references, for example, to Cyprus and countries that are known as significant locations for Russian money laundering, that there had been a suspicion at some point that this would turn in a more of a financial direction than a collusion direction.
Yeah, some people had pointed toward Special Counsel Robert Mueller. As he put together his team, there were people who specialized in financial fraud, international money laundering kinds of things. Is that a sign to you that, yeah, this is part of what's going on here as far as the investigation?
I think that was a sign very early on as he started putting together his team. I think more recently, the news, and again, at least reports, that he is now working not only with the New York State Attorney General, which is an interesting topic to talk about, but the IRS's Criminal Investigation Unit, which really, again, also focuses specifically on financial crimes, including money laundering and tax evasion.
We'll get more into that New York Attorney General issue, but let's talk about Cyprus, because that's not, I think, something that a lot of people have had front and center here. What is the Cyprus connection when it comes to money flowing out of Russia and into gray areas around the world?
Right. Even in the early 1990s already, Cyprus had been a place that a lot of money was flowing out of Russia and into banks in Cyprus, and it didn't make a lot of sense in a lot of ways, except for a lot of this money was let's say, shady money from Russia that was, by most accounts, being laundered through those banks to try to kind of clean up and then on its way back to Russia or into investments in the West, in Europe, for example, or the United States. So there are connections still to Cyprus by a number of top Russian officials, and there are also questions about even some of the people like Paul Manafort and having potential ties to banks on Cyprus.
Yeah, can you talk more about that? We've got the connection between Russian government officials slash organized crime elements in some ways and this island in the Mediterranean, Cyprus. What are the tendrils that people are looking at potentially between people in the United States, people involved in the Trump campaign or the Trump organization?
Well, I think there are ties of actual officials who had held top positions related to banks in Cyprus in the United States, but also the use of Cyprus as a location to try to basically develop shell companies to put money into. And this is something that Paul Manafort has been looked into in particular in terms of some of his investments and the efforts to use shell businesses to kind of take money, buy real estate with cash, and then use those companies to essentially buy back the real estate and kind of clean up that money through, or at least get loans to cover the real estate to kind of clean that money back up. And so certainly he has some concerns, or should have some concerns, about the investigation taking this turn in a financial direction.
And Paul Manafort was, for a brief while, the campaign manager for the successful Trump campaign. And it seems like he is the center of the investigation in some ways now. There was a raid on his house recently, and now people are talking about notes he took, apparently, at the meeting with Donald Trump Jr. and people from Russia, proxies maybe. What do we know about the investigation, again, given that a lot of this is behind closed doors?
Well, we know that the June 9th, 2016 meeting has become much more central to the investigation, not only because who was involved, and including on the Russian side, but that what had been talked about by the White House as this being a really minor meeting that didn't lead to anything, and Jared Kushner didn't stay very long, and Paul Manafort was playing around in his phone. You know, we now know, in fact, he was taking notes on his phone. And so there are, again, interesting reports, at least, about some of the things possibly in those notes that have made, again, probably at least made Robert Mueller take an even closer look at that meeting than he would have already.
And you mentioned earlier a big development, the Mueller investigation working with New York's attorney general. And people have been pointing toward the pardon of Sheriff Joe Arpaio earlier this week as a sign that, hey, maybe President Trump would pardon others, people involved in his campaign. Well, if there's a state element to this, the president can pardon federal crimes. He can't pardon anything happening at the state level. Is that right?
That's correct. And I think that there are a few things about Eric Schneiderman in particular, including that the New York Attorney General's office has significant power in the area of financial crimes, very broad subpoena powers, for example, partly just because New York City is essentially the financial capital of the world in many ways, and that has made the Attorney General of New York develop a very strong and deep staff, including even recently hiring some additional people who had been looking into Donald Trump and real estate deals in the past as additional people for his team. So he has been working on this for a little while. I think the reports have just come out, but it seems pretty clear that in fact, Mueller and Schneiderman had been cooperating for a while now. So the pardon issue is an important one. You can't, as president, pardon someone from a state crime, and I don't think the New York governor would have any interest in pardoning Trump administration officials anytime soon. So that is an important piece of the story. But it's also that threat of not being able to be pardoned could be used to put pressure on Paul Manafort, for example, to testify in more detail than he might have otherwise been willing to do, because he now is not safe potentially from these state charges.
Lowell Barrington is with us now to talk about the latest political implications in the ongoing Russia probe. He's an associate professor and chair of the Department of Political Science at Marquette University.
And you can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. What do you think of the ongoing Russia investigation? Do you think it's necessary, or do you agree with President Trump that it's a political witch hunt? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation about the latest into the investigation into Russian interference during the 2016 presidential race with Lowell Barrington. He's an associate professor and chair of the Department of Political Science at Marquette University.
You can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the Russia probe? What do you think the outcome will be once the investigation concludes? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Lowell, a lot of the starting point on this was the Russian interference or attempts to interfere in the 2016 election campaign, hacking the Democratic National Committee and Clinton campaign emails. We're seeing more and more news about efforts to hack into election machine companies and things like that. Is this a common instrument of Russian foreign policy, not just in the U.S., but in other countries, to use this sort of cyber effort to interfere with elections?
It has been, both in Europe and in other countries, that they have used computer cyber attacks as political tools in the past. They have launched viruses, for example, against Ukraine during the battle for eastern and southern Ukraine. But they also are using things that are not as I don't know, bad sounding as cyber attacks, by simply having people work on posting things in comment sections, for example, on websites, and posting misleading or completely incorrect stories to social media threads as well. And I think that's something we shouldn't underestimate, that certainly the hacking into records and attempts at least to poke at voting machines and see what they can get into in terms of at least the registration records, if not the machines themselves. I think those are concerns, but there was probably at least as much or more damage done by the spread of misinformation via social media.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Joan is with us in Winona, Minnesota. Joan, hi.
Yes, hi.
What do you think, Joan?
Well, I really believe that where there's smoke, there's fire. And there has been a lot of smoke around the Russia investigation and what the Trump folks did leading up to the election. And I absolutely want all the investigations to go forward, because I think not only is the president probably involved, but also many people in his administration, including the vice president. And we need to know the truth about what folks did relative to our common enemy, the Russians, to perhaps swing this election or even just attempt to swing it.
Joan, thanks for the call. But we don't necessarily have the fire part of that equation, do we, Lowell, about whether members of the Trump team had actively colluded with Russians in those interference efforts we were talking about. That, at least from what we know publicly, we don't have the proverbial smoking gun on that.
I think that's largely correct, although one of the things, again, about the June 9th meeting that was so important was it appears to have at least been set up under the idea that there would be information about the Clinton campaign given to members of the Trump campaign. And the fact that they took that meeting in the first place showed at least an interest or even intent to work with Russia or Russian interests in that way. So I think there's something maybe between only smoke and no fire, and maybe some at least smoldering coals a bit or something there that in fact really does demand further investigation. I would say I think we don't know nearly as much about the extent of President Trump or Vice President Pence's direct involvement in these as we do about members of his campaign team. And it's certainly possible that the president was not as directly involved as some might think, because in fact people wanted to shelter him or perhaps didn't even really trust him to be involved in those kind of meetings if they did take place with that intent. And that's where he has not helped himself by in fact engaging in activities that at least opened the door to discussions of obstruction of justice and certainly by leading the investigation to at least open doors into the economic and finance questions.
Joan, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Joan saying there, Lowell, that the investigation should go on. It is going on, actually, investigations, the Mueller one and then one in each House of Congress. There has been talk about the idea that President Trump might fire some people, might attempt to stop the Mueller investigation. Do you think that's likely?
I think politically it would be very difficult. I think even the Republican members of Congress, I thought the Senate, for example, Republican leadership right before the recess by engaging in a tactic to essentially stay in session rather than go into official recess to prevent him from, you know, doing different kinds of things with appointment powers that would have opened the door to removing Mueller. I think that was a very important sign that Republican leadership in the House and Senate really don't have the stomach for Robert Mueller being fired. I would add, though, that all of the things that have been said so far about Eric Schneiderman, there are a few other things, and one of them is that by working with him, Mueller is providing him information, and they're clearly sharing information. So even if somehow Mueller were removed, this additional work now with the IRS and with people like Eric Schneiderman in New York do kind of prevent the investigation from being entirely shut down, even if Mueller is somehow removed.
Now, there have been accusations that some people, Democrats in particular, are slipping into sort of a Russophobia, a new Cold War mentality, exaggerating the threat of Russia. Do you think there's something to that?
Well, I think, the term Cool War has been floated and the risk of sliding into that. I think in many ways we are already there. I think from even before the election, relations with Russia had certainly not been as positive as they had been 10 or 15 years ago, and some of that has to do with actions by Russia. Certainly the involvement in the campaign is an issue, but we need to keep in mind and remember that the issue of Russian sanctions, and Russia certainly was hoping President Trump's election would have created a situation to eliminate those sanctions, that was because of Russia's actions on their own end with countries like Ukraine or even activities involving Syria. So I think for quite a while now there has been growing tensions, and I think President Trump clearly hoped, and one might say for valid reasons, hoped that the relations between Russia and the United States would improve. I think on the Russian side, there's been a lot of unhappiness with what they have been able to get out of the Americans in terms of improved relations, and the latest incidents and debates over things like consulates just shows that, in fact, this is not something we're removing yet in any kind of way toward really positive relations.
As we start to wrap up, what are you watching for next as these investigations go forward?
I think, again, for me, one of the really interesting sides of the events of the last couple of weeks has just been how clear this is now just focusing not only anymore on things like collusion and even things like obstruction of justice, but really a following the money investigation. And I think that one of the things that hasn't been talked a lot about yet in working with the New York State Attorney General is that when the president files federal tax forms, there are also state tax forms, and there would be state tax forms in New York. So again, one of the things that could happen is he could run afoul of tax laws at the federal level, but those would also be, if he failed to disclose things, for example, a state issue in New York as well. And that's something that even if we want to go down this path of imagining a scenario where the president resigns and we now have a President Pence, that Mike Pence can't pardon Donald Trump either for New York crimes. And so I think that we need to really have in mind how important this move is to create a state level or at least foster and deepen a state level investigation to parallel that going on at the federal level.
Lowell, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob, and thank you, Veronica.
That's Lowell Barrington, Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. He joined us today for a look at the ongoing probe into Russia's meddling in the 2016 presidential campaign.